WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Without offering up an official endorsement, Puerto Rican music artist Bad Bunny sharing posts online in support for Kamala Harris for president after comedians' jokes about Puerto Rico at the Trump event yesterday at Madison Square Garden. Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony resharing the posts. Avery Harper, deputy political director at ABC News in Washington.
We know when we look at the Puerto Rican vote, Puerto Rican Americans, they tend to lean more Democratic than some other Latino groups, than, say, Cubans, Americans down in South Florida.
The Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance called the issue a distraction propagated by a losing campaign. NATO today confirming North Korean troops have been sent to Russia to fight alongside their Russian counterparts in the Kursk region. Investigators in the Portland, Oregon area and in Washington State investigating ballot box fires early this morning. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. It's going to be a busy week all over Wisconsin. The final week before the election means we're going to have a lot of campaign visits. Here's just a quick rundown of some of them. We've got Governor Tim Walz in Manitowoc and Waukesha today, plus J.D. Vance is in Wausau. Bernie Sanders is in Oshkosh this afternoon. Then tonight, he'll be joined by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez here in Madison. Former President Donald Trump will hold a rally in Green Bay on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris will have a rally/concert here in Madison Wednesday night. And then Trump will be back in Wisconsin for another rally on Friday at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. And over the weekend, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg was here in the Badger State. Here's Lisa Hale.
Pete Buttigieg was in Oshkosh Saturday drumming up support for the Democratic ticket and invigorating Canvas volunteers.
Communities red, blue, and purple already understand that if we're serious about protecting children in school, that's not about keeping a Toni Morrison paperback out of the school library. It's about making sure assault weapons don't get anywhere near the school.
Buttigieg also spoke in Green Bay, Appleton, and Fond du Lac Saturday.
If you haven't seen it for yourself, chances are you've seen photos. It was the talk of the city over the weekend. An unusual art installation showed up on Madison's north side. It's a statue of former President Donald Trump depicted nude. The piece is on tour across the country called the Crooked and Obscene Tour. The Cap Times called it anatomically specific, and that phrase is accurate. It's 43 feet tall, made out of foam and rebar, and weighs 6,000 pounds. It's held up by a crane. People were driving around trying to find it. It was kind of tucked behind some trees based on where you stood on private property near DeMetro Park. It's already been in Las Vegas and Pennsylvania. It was only scheduled to be here in Madison for the weekend, so it's likely headed to its next stop. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
Another walk-off win for Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers kicked a field goal as time expired to beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville 30-27. Backup quarterback Malik Willis played most of the second half. After Jordan Love left with a groin injury, Matt LaFleur asked if he knew how severe was Love's injury.
I do not. No idea. But obviously, high level of concern anytime a guy is in there. And he did it early in that first drive, and I think everybody could see him struggling.
Up next, the Packers host the Lions, who beat the Titans 52-14 in Detroit. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers turned their attention to playing the Iowa Hawkeyes Saturday night. Wisconsin now 5-3 after losing to undefeated Penn State 28-13. NBA, the Bucks in Boston tonight after losing to the Brooklyn Nets 115-102. Giannis says they simply need to play better.
We got to keep coming together as a team, keep on taking care of the ball, keep on being aggressive, find ways to play faster. I think we're playing, we are too stagnant.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, warm, a low near 60. And a mix of sun and clouds and staying mild tomorrow, high around 80. Showers and maybe even a rumble of thunder and breezy on Wednesday, high to the upper 70s. Much colder on Thursday. Currently at 62 degrees.
People have always trusted a compass. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm with the Aaron Weber Group. And yes, I got a compass in my hand.
Aye, matey. A compass guides me to treasure.
I'm Magellan, and a compass got me around the world.
Aye, 'tis true.
Throughout history, a compass has been trusted to lead the way. Now, let the Aaron Weber Group and Compass, the number one real estate brokerage in the country, guide you home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, at movetomadison.com.
Our real estate riches await.
The John and Gordy Show.
From Substack, we have Mike McCabe in the studio. It's the McDonald's appearance. Now we're going to have a presidential candidate go to McDonald's and serve up fries at a go window. You know, the restaurant's closed, you know, and he rehearsed it.
Ridiculous. And the customers were actors.
Yes.
So did he stand at the drive-up window and say, do you want lies with that?
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
This week, John and Gordy are celebrating our one-year anniversary here at WMDX.
And we're going to have our Halloween special.
Ooh, it's spooky.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so great to have you with me tonight. Thanks for joining the show. Wherever you are joining us from in our amazing, gorgeous state, it's great to have you. Whether you're joining us on the stream, the app, the actual radio, going old school, it's all good. Hope you had a great weekend. There was a lot going on in the world of entertainment this weekend, in the world of sports, and just in Wisconsin. A lot of fun Halloween stuff. I managed to go to a party that did not require costumes. Because I feel like at some age, you get to a point where you're just like, if it's not mandatory, if not everybody's wearing a costume, I'm not going to dress up. Did you go to a party, Conrad?
No, actually, I did not.
No? You anti-Halloween or just weren't feeling it?
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it this year.
Yeah.
None of my friends really did either. I don't know. I had a bunch of friends that were working during the weekend.
Oh, okay. Remember, Thursday, we are dressing up. You're going to wear that master thing you have, right?
I will, yes.
Okay, and I'll wear my prisoner outfit. So that'll be fun. That's Thursday, folks. Halloween, it's finally here. It feels like we have been building up to this. I feel like the buildup for Halloween has been like 3 months. And again, I don't know if part of it is like election fatigue, political ads. I am getting so tired of political ads. You can't watch. All I want to do is escape and watch a football game or one of my shows and stream it. And it's these ads that just, oh my gosh, I have to mute it. That's how annoyed I am. So that will be over soon. I voted today. Did you vote yet, Conrad?
No. I'm going on the election or on November whatever.
5th. Oh, that's a good sign. let me ask you this. What are you going to do if the lines are really long? You going to gut it out?
Just have to gut it out.
All right. As long as you're willing to gut it out, that's fine. I think I went today. We had to wait. My wife and I had to wait like 5 minutes. It wasn't too bad. And there were some other people showing up at Marinette City Hall to vote. But they moved it along pretty well. It is nice to get it out of the way for me personally. I know some people like to go on election day and vote, and that's totally fine as well. But you do run into you can run into issues anyway. If there are very long lines, and if you want to avoid any what people are saying, there could be some trouble this year. I really don't think there will be. But you just never know. I like to get it done early, but whatever you do, as long as you vote, that's what we're up against here. That's what we're trying to promote. Promote the vote, Conrad. That's what it's all about. So we talked about the Badgers on Friday.
Yes.
And if they can get by Penn State and then manage to beat Oregon, if Oregon is still number one when they come in here, they should be considered for the playoff. That is not going to happen. As it turns out, it was very difficult game to watch.
I mean, yeah, I'll say, you know, it didn't look terrible in the first quarter and then just went downhill.
They were winning in the first half. They seemed to keep pace and then it just gets away from them. And they look slow to me. I don't know. Penn State looked a lot faster.
It looked like Penn State, once Penn State figured it out, it was over.
Yeah. Indeed. But it was a good weekend, a beautiful weekend up in the Marinette area where I live. And I realized that here, I just want to get something off my chest before we go hardcore into the show. And we've got a great one tonight, folks. Adam Brody is appearing on the show. I interviewed Adam yesterday, and we're going to play that interview. He is from The OC and the Netflix, the new Netflix show, Nobody Wants This, with Kristen Bell. So we'll play that interview at 7:05. But I realized that I have a pet peeve. A couple years ago, a friend of mine put on Facebook, "I'm looking for a new post-shave balm. Can anyone recommend a good one?" And I know I get set off by the weirdest things, but reading the words post-shave balm drove me insane. It's aftershave.
I was going to say, yeah, isn't it just aftershave?
Nobody says post-shave balm. It's hard to say. It's pretentious. It's ridiculous. So the other night, I needed more aftershave. And I stopped by a store, I think after I left here Friday night, and I go in to get some aftershave. I get home, I take it out of the box. I think it was Nivea or something. Guess what it says on the bottle? Post-shave balm. I wouldn't even have bought it. Why? Why are we complicating things? It's a post-shave balm. Even if you said aftershave balm, it's the post-shave balm. It's so hard to say and so stupid. That's the last time I buy that product. Unless they want to sponsor the show, then I love it. So I don't know. I know. Do I get you? You've known me for almost a year now, Conrad. Do I get wound up by little things like that?
I guess
sometimes.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I wouldn't have even noticed it probably if it was me. But
well, words are my thing. I mean, I have a writing background, and I I've done a lot of freelance. I've written spots for like marketing campaigns and the networks when I was living in LA. I worked for NBC and the WB and Fox and Lifetime. And words matter. And that drives me crazy. I need a new post-shave balm. Can anyone recommend something? Yeah, how about you give yourself a beating? I'm kidding, Conrad. Don't look scared. I'm half kidding.
What if I want a post-shave balm?
You would deserve a beating. I'm not saying I would do it, but I'd probably hire some goons. What is your post-shave balm of choice? Do you have one?
I actually use something from Bath & Body Works.
Oh.
What's that called? They have some really good scents there, and it's the Ocean Aftershave.
The Ocean by Conrad. You see, you have one of those names. You could go into that line of work. like a Calvin Klein, like a one-name guy. Ocean Essence by Conrad.
The Wilderness by Conrad.
Yeah, right. You could do, dude, that's totally, you got to get the ball rolling on that. As long as you don't leave the show, that's fine. And moving on, I'm excited too. I'm almost done with Bad Monkey, and it kind of kicks up a notch. But you know what's bothering me a little bit? Vince Vaughn, in the face of danger, still being Vince Vaughn with the wisecracks.
Okay.
I get that you're wisecracking your way through the show and you're doing Vince Vaughn, and we love Vince Vaughn. We like the you know, little quips and the smart-ass remarks and all that, but, you know, when Russian gangsters break into your house and have a gun in your face, I think that, and your girlfriend is right there, I think you're a little less cocky then. But I'm sticking with it, and it is good.
Yeah.
I'm accepting that and moving past it. I have an episode and a half left.
Oh, okay. So you're there almost.
Pardon me. I am almost there. And then I'm going tonight. I'm planning on finishing that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going right into Lioness Season 2, baby, with Zoe Saldana. Really good show by Taylor Sheridan. I watched the whole first season in about 2 days, 6 or 8 months ago, and just thought it was great. So I'm going to start that again tonight, too.
So how do you feel right now about the buildup that's going on? Because you said you're on episode, what, 8?
I'm at 8.5. I'm halfway into episode. No, halfway into episode. There's 10 episodes, I believe. So I have an episode and a half left.
So how do you feel about the buildup so far?
Yeah, it's okay. No, I don't mean that. Like, I mean, I think they could have done the season in 8 episodes, to be honest. But
well, I think they did add a lot to. Why do I keep forgetting his name?
Nick?
No.
Yancey. That's Vince Vaughn's character, Andrew Yancey.
Hold on. Let me Neville. Go to Google again.
Neville?
Yes.
All right, Neville.
I don't know why I keep forgetting his name, but I feel like they added a lot of story to his that was slow.
Yeah,
they could have made that a little.
I agree,
but they are basing it off the book Bad
Correct.
Monkey. So I'm actually gonna read it and see how close it is to the, you know.
Wow, you. Oh God. My backpack fell off the chair. I thought there was an animal coming into the studio. I swear to God, I thought there was a dog or a coyote running in.
If you're on the stream, you saw that live.
Oh, my God. That was insane.
That reaction, I thought there was like a little tiny spider over there or something.
Spiders, I don't mind. I don't like furry animals running around, though. In my defense, I have a backpack shaped like a dog. Whoa, that was creepy.
This street is haunted.
It's supposedly, right? We learned that last Friday. But I think I applaud you for reading the book after you watch the show, but I also think it's a cop-out. I don't think when you buy the rights to a book and make it into a show, you don't have to stick to the book.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some contractual things in there, but you can make it a better TV and book, they're different mediums. Make it good TV.
I wish I would have known that it was based on a book before I got to like episode 6.
Yeah.
So I could have read the book first. Book.
Right.
But I definitely planned because there's a second book that I'm going to read before the second season comes
out. Of Bad Monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Here's another thing that kind of got under my skin. I have a Facebook friend who will remain nameless, Bob Scott. Kidding. She will post a picture of herself after everything she does. Just got back from the store, and it's kind of a half smile, and she's looking at the camera, and you could tell she doesn't want to show her teeth because it's like a toothless smile. And you know, she's an attractive woman, and I don't know what the deal is, but whether you're attractive or not, just smile. Like, but every picture she posts after she does something, here's me leaving the gala event, it's the same face. Here's me after afternoon of boating on Lake Michigan, same face. I don't understand why people do that. She could literally use the same picture for everything she posts and just change the background. It's just wasted. Like people, you know, they post 18,000 pictures of themselves. Basically, it's a very similar picture. Or here's my head tilted to the left. Here's a picture of me tilted to the right. Sometimes there'll be five offerings in one post, and it's like, I don't need to see every angle of your face. I get that you did something. You could have just said that. You didn't have to share a picture, especially not a picture that looks like every other picture you put on Facebook.
Wow.
I don't get it. And I just, I love social media, and I don't love social. It's like, I love it that I can keep in touch with my friends who I don't live close to anymore, but that kind of stuff drives me nuts. And I might be on an island. Maybe all of you listening do the same thing. I don't know. I haven't even, oh my God, this is a terrible show opening. All right, so I've got to tell you the question. Tonight's question, this is National Animation Day, folks. So let me get this out there before the break. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite cartoon or animated show or movie? Cartoon National Animation Day. We've all watched cartoons. We love our animated shows or movies. What's your favorite? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will be back to continue opening Nightlight right after this this word. This is Beach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Backed by popular demand, Wisconsin's largest and most spectacular Christmas show, Christmas in the Dells, kicks off the holiday season Friday, November 1st. It all starts with a four-course Christmas feast, complete with ham, turkey, and all the fix-its, and with new songs, cast, and costumes, plus a third show added on Saturdays. This truly will be a magical holiday season, highlighted by a live nativity, complete with real animals and flying angels. Christmas in the Dells is not to be missed. Want to save 20% off tickets? Use promo code SAVE20% at checkout and you'll do exactly that. Save 20% off of any of the November Christmas in the Dells shows. Not sure of the date you want to attend? You can purchase a voucher now, save 20%, and choose your date later. It'll make a great Christmas gift for family, friends, employees, everyone. But you need to hurry. The promotion will end soon. Get your tickets today at ChristmasInTheDells.com. That's ChristmasInTheDells.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Eric from Lodi says, is Pete going to be going... is Pete going to be going boomer all night? I'm trying to decide if it's funny or sad. How old are you, Eric? That's what I want to know. Eric's in the 608. Why did I say that was so boomer? Post-shave bomb? Did I offend someone who likes the phrase post-shave bomb? Is that possible?
Is that the original term?
Or Eric has posted several photos of himself on Facebook. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't mean to offend Eric. I probably am somewhat boomer. I'm okay with that. Thanks for the text, though, buddy. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, do not experience that, but showboating. What? Pete, do not experience that, but showboating. I need some explanation there, Tom. Tom from the 414, one of our regular most awesome texters. Would love to have you clarify that, Tom. Anna says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite animated show is The Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. Great choice, Anna. In reference to The Flintstones, there's a great movie called Night Shift. If you've never seen it, Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler, they play undertakers at the New York City morgue, and they end up turning it into like a brothel, so to speak, or they become bookers of prostitutes and do it out of the morgue. And there's a very funny line in there where the day guy is leaving and packs up his TV and takes it with him, and he's singing the Flintstones song and says, oh, that Barney Rubble, what an actor. Great line. Great movie. Check it out if you haven't. Thank you, Anna. That's a great choice. Tom from New Berlin. Sucks for the person listening. Pete did not experience that, but showboating sucks for the person listening. I don't know. Maybe Pete needs some... Eric says, maybe Pete needs some salve. Is that, am I saying that right? Salve? That's the, like, aloe. That's in the post-shave bomb. Thank you, Eric. Eric says he's 57. So, Eric, you're a boomer, too. I think we're both boomers. Or no, all right. I'm Gen X, too, then. Okay. What technically is the boomer age? Do we know that? Can we go to the Google?
I can go to the Google.
I've never really cared before, but I'm being called boomer, so I feel like I should know. What I'm being accused of. Jameson in Pennsylvania says, animated show, Venture Brothers, written by people between your age and mine. It's basically Johnny Quest grew up and is a scientist like his day, but a, like his dad, I assume, but a failure while making his kids go through the same horror of adventuring his father did. So many great pop culture references, mainstream and obscure. Highly recommended. It will not disappoint, and you'll find yourself quoting it all the time. I love a show that I quote all the time. The Simpsons, that's the one that's my go-to. Family Guy's great. I like The Regular Show. Great text, Jameson. Thank you. Eric says, favorite animated show, Futurama. Interesting you say that, Eric. One of the writers from Futurama will be here next Monday night. He's a comedian and writer named Mike Rowe. Not the Mike Rowe from the commercials or whatever, but Mike Rowe, very funny comedian and excellent writer. He's written on Futurama and King of the Hill. He will be here Monday talking about a book he wrote and probably writing for Futurama. So I hope you can tune in then too, Eric. From the 414, Rango. Oh, what is that? I know that.
It's yeah, kind of a like a Western movie, if I'd say, about, I forget who it is.
Yeah, let's look that up. I'm going to look that up because I know that. I know that.
Why can't I think of a lizard? Johnny Depp's in it, though.
Okay.
It's like a Western about, I think, a lizard.
We'll look it up. I need a refresher on that, but thank you, 608. Also, from the 608, Madison Plummer. Also, I'm not a boomer. Llama from Madison says, The Tick. It's a spoof on superheroes. I remember The Tick. Great text, everybody. Those are great. I was not expecting to hear some of those. And I never really watched The Tick, but I loved the ads for it. Mine would have to be The Simpsons and at times Family Guy. And probably South Park at times, although I don't watch it religiously. And Conrad, you said yours is Puss in Boots?
Well, that's for a movie.
Yeah.
But I would say Family Guy for television.
So boomers are 57 to 75?
Yes.
Okay.
It said, well, baby boomers. So
that's not right. Because I'm not even close to being a baby boomer. I think baby boomers or boomers start at least in the early 60s. Because my sister-in-law is the last year of baby boomer, and I think she was born in 64.
Okay, so it says boomers 70 to 78. Boomers. Okay.
I think that's
two, aka Generation Jones, 60 to 69.
Now they're just making stuff up. I'm a part of neither one of those. But maybe I'm old 59. And curmudgeon-y. Maybe that's what Eric was saying. I accept that. We have a phone call. Let's go to the. Yep. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Hey, good evening, Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Thanks for holding.
My favorite animated is Peanuts. Since they don't play on national TV anymore, I'm going to have to go to the library and rent the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and a Charlie Brown Christmas, because there's not the holidays until I see those.
You know what? First of all, I think it's worth it to do that, to go put in the extra effort, because I love those so much. But I think you can stream them now, Cindy. I'm almost certain. I don't know what streaming apps you have, but I think
Apple TV.
Apple TV has the Peanuts?
Has the Great Pumpkin.
Okay. And that's not bad, Cindy. It's only like $6.99 a month. I don't know what your budget is or whatever, but it might be worth looking into. But there's something old school about going and getting the videos, too. That's fun, too. But a great choice, Cindy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Cindy from Appleton. And what did you just tell me, Conrad? You just tried to give me a signal. Like, am I supposed to steal home?
You're supposed to go to two.
What's two? Jim from Appleton says, oh, there we go. Jim from Appleton says, boomers start in 1948, post-World War II. That's when they start. Yes, that sounds right, Jim. And I think it goes to 64. I could be wrong. But thank you for the text, Jim. All right, so you said you saw Venom.
Yes, I did.
And?
I liked it. I am a big fan of the Venoms, the two Venoms before.
Awesome.
I really liked it. And I think if you have time to go see it and you like the Venom film, go see it. Even if you look at the reviews and you're like, oh, well, the critics only gave it 37. Still go see it. I think you'll enjoy it.
It's from Conrad, creator of Great Essences and Scents. We have a great show tonight, folks. Actor from the OC and Nobody Wants This. Adam Brody joins me at 7:05, a pre-recorded interview we did yesterday. Ian Teal is coming up next to talk about the Waiwega Film Festival. And at 7:20, we have two people from the Brown County Historical Society here in studio to talk about their 125th gala event that is tomorrow night. That's all tonight. That's a lot of show. Great to have you with me. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Two people were shot in a downtown Madison restaurant yesterday. It happened in the early morning hours at Sabora's Fusion Grill. Police say there was some kind of altercation and shots rang out. One man has injuries that aren't life-threatening, but the other is in critical condition at the hospital. Also, over the weekend, someone was shot at a Dane County gas station. The sheriff's office says authorities were called to the BP on County Highway N Saturday, that's in the town of Pleasant Springs. There, they found one person had been shot multiple times. They were taken to the hospital. We don't know the extent of their injuries. Lots of law enforcement agencies are part of this investigation. The Dane County Sheriff's Office, Wisconsin State Troopers, and police from McFarland, Cottage Grove, and Stoughton. And we now have some answers in that bizarre case of cross-contamination where some people ate some pizza and learned they had ingested THC. Friday, we reported that people who ate at Famous Yeti's in Stoughton were testing positive for the substance. Officials from Public Health Madison-Dane County were called to investigate when multiple people were taken to the hospital, and one said, hey, this almost feels like I've eaten an edible. And all the people with symptoms ate pizza from Famous Yeti's. Health department staff found that a container of pizza dough there tested positive for THC. Well, here's the update. A report from the health department says last week the operator was making pizza in a building that operates as an industrial kitchen for lots of businesses. They have their own separate spaces, often entire rooms to themselves. Well, this person making the pizza dough ran out of cooking oil, and they started looking in other kitchens to borrow some. Health department staff say the person grabbed what looked like cooking oil, but of course it wasn't. It had a label on the lid saying it contained THC. Now, we don't know what business it was that had that oil, but health officials working with police say it was something totally legal in Wisconsin. Last week, officials got dozens of reports from people who ate there and just didn't feel quite right afterwards. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like it's taken forever, but there might be a Speed 3. See what I did there? In a recent chat with The Hollywood Reporter, 20th Century Studios' Steve Asbell gave the movie-going public hope when it comes to more sequels destined for the big screen in the near future. Asbell says he is open to Speed 3 if it's a great idea, but that the studio will definitely pursue another Alien, and says there will be a new Predator film in theaters in 2025 as well. Asbell also added there would be most likely another Alien versus Predator. Thanks, but not really necessary, Steve. Looking for something new to watch as the Halloween season winds down? Check out Bad Monkey on Apple TV. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it is a good show and keeps you guessing. Vince Vaughn basically plays himself, but this time he's named Andrew Yancey, a disgraced detective in Miami trying to solve a case in which a severed arm is found with the middle finger of the hand extended. A funny gimmick, but the story unfolds nicely and the characters are interesting. Give it a watch. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, warm, a low near 60. And a mix of sun and clouds and staying mild tomorrow, high around 80. Showers and maybe even a rumble of thunder and breezy on Wednesday, high to the upper 70s. Much colder on Thursday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Listen, saving a lot on a comfortable mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee is easy. Why? Well, because we make our mattresses right at the store. Yeah, we cut out the middleman and voila, you got it. We pass the savings directly on to you every day. So hurry in today to your local Verlo, where there are no middleman markups. Wake up, sleep better, and save at Verlo.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mary Hayes is the chair of the Chequamegon Democrats for Bayfield and Ashland counties. Going to get a little update with her. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
You don't come easy. Got to pay your dues if you
Neil Drews watching on the stream, a former guest of the show who runs a really cool independent film festival in Milwaukee, messages on the stream and says, favorite animation is a Japanese film made by Studio Ghibli called Howl's Moving Castle based on the book. The film adaptation's English Club stars Christian Bale as Howl. Interesting. I don't know enough about anime, do you? And I'm not saying he's saying that's what that is, but
I do not.
It made me think of it. Thank you, Ezekiel for the recommendation. And thank you for all your texts. Keep them coming. What is your favorite? Today is National Animation Day. So that's our question tonight. What is your favorite animated show or movie? Can be either. Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Please be part of the show, and we'll read it on the radio. Coming up at 7:05, my interview from yesterday with the OC actor and Nobody Wants This actor on the hit Netflix show Adam Brody. That is coming up at 7:05. And at 7:20, we welcome Deirdre and Stephen Starry from the Brown County Historical Society, who will be here talking about a really cool 125th anniversary event tomorrow night, a gala affair. They will be in studio, so that's always exciting. But right now, I'm excited to welcome some film festival talk on Tonight Light. We haven't done this in probably a week or so, and I like to stay up to date with all the film festivals. Joining us now from WIGA Arts and the WIWIGA International Film Festival is Ian Teal. Ian, welcome to Tonight Light.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Thank you for taking the time. I don't know how film festival people do it, to be honest, to come on a show like this when you have a film festival right around the corner. I know there's so much to be taken care of. It looks like your film lineup is set, but I'm sure you're scrambling around with last minute things like hotel rooms and guest accommodations and all that kind of stuff. So how's it going so far?
Good. Well, this is a big part of it, is getting the word out. That's basically what we're in the midst of now, is getting the word out. So this is ideal for us right now.
Well, that's great to hear. Happy to help. Tell us a little bit about the WIWIGA Film Festival for those of us who have never been to it.
Well, WIWIGA is a small town about 25 miles west of the Fox Valley, kind of between Wapaka and Fremont near the Wolf River. And in 2007, my partner and I bought the Gerald Opera House in WIWIGA. Not sure why, but we did. But we have a lot of experience. I grew up in Wisconsin, but we met each other in New York, where we did a lot of theater and film projects. And so we moved back here and we weren't doing anything real creative. So let's buy an opera house. So after several years of, we started showing some indies, and those went over pretty well, locally made films. And so in 2011, we decided to start a film festival. And if you're a small town, you want to get as much attention as you can. So we called it the WIWIGA International Film Festival. We also love foreign films. So this is a way to solicit films from all around the world. And we're in our 14th year. We're now doing 4 full days of programming. We have a lot of filmmakers visiting this year. I think probably half the films are going to have filmmakers there.
Nice.
Of the 61 films we're showing.
Wow.
And it's a terrific, it's a great lineup. Every year, you know, you get more known, so you get a lot more submissions, and just a lot of great films this year.
So that was kind of leads me into my next question. You talked about how you grow in popularity a little bit each year. From the time you started to now, would you say there's more of a film audience in that vicinity of Wisconsin? Did you have to build it, or were they already there and they just needed to be entertained? How did that work?
No, that's definitely a big part of it, is building the audience, because like I say, we're in a small town. But we draw from Stevens Point up to Green Bay, the Fox Valley area, Oshkosh, Wapaka is a big part of our audience. But yeah, it's been a process of letting people know we're here and growing. But now, of course, COVID, we took a big hit. We did 1 year online, which actually went pretty well. But then it's a bit of a build back after COVID. And last year's festival was great. We had great attendance, and we're hoping for the same this year.
That's great. So talk a little bit about the film festival, by the way. If you're interested in attending this year's 14th annual Waiwege International Film Festival, is November 13th through the 16th. They offer over 60 films, a few of which we'll talk about in just a minute. But talk about your venue. When you say you don't know why you bought an opera house, I get that. But I also think buying an old theater or an opera house is one of the coolest things ever. And I'm sure they are a ton of work and a labor of love. But do you regret doing it? And how conducive is it to hosting a film festival?
No, I have no regrets. I guess it's in my nature. When I was, I think, how old was I? I was like 21. I produced a Shakespeare play on Martha's Vineyard in an outdoor amphitheater. And we sort of revamped the amphitheater. And to this day, the local theater company is still doing Shakespeare in the amphitheater.
Nice.
When I lived in New York City and in my 20s, started a couple theater groups. This is in fact when I met my partner, Kathy. We and several other people took an empty building on 4th Street in the East Village and made a theater out of it and ran a theater for about 3 years. And that theater is still in existence.
Nice.
So it's sort of in our blood. We love to perform, make movies, be creative. And when you have your own space, it helps. But in terms of the Gerald Opera House, it had been sitting, it was built in 1915. It's not super fancy, but it can seat about 350 max, has a beautiful balcony. When we bought it, it was pretty much set up as a movie theater. The screen, it has a big full-size screen. It's on a track, so the screen can move to the back of the stage, so you can do concerts and different performances. And when we bought it, the stage, the screen was kind of permanently affixed to the front, and they had insulated all behind it so they wouldn't have to heat the stage. And same thing, the balcony was all closed off so they wouldn't have to heat it. So we opened all that up. We did some basic updates, put in some stage lighting, updated our film projection. It had 35 millimeter projection when we bought it, but it was pretty outdated. So we bought some secondhand newer equipment. And actually when we first doing films, we were doing them on 35 millimeter, but that's now almost impossible to get prints. You can get them, but it is not easy. So that's when we switched digital projection. And now we have excellent digital projection and sound. And it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. It's always fun putting on a show. So
yeah, for sure. My guest is Ian Teal. He works with the Waiwege, one of the creators of the Waiwege International Film Festival. Just a short drive from the Fox Valley here, and they've got, it sounds like, a great lineup of films. Before we get into the films, you talk about making films and doing theater, Ian. What is your background? How did you get into this racket, so to speak? Are you from Wisconsin?
I grew up in Oconomowoc, and when I was, I think 19, I moved out to New York, where I had an older sister, and got involved in theater out there, between there and Martha's Vineyard, where my grandfather lived. So I had a nice, in my 20s, I'd spend my summers on Martha's Vineyard, doing theater, going to the beach, painting houses, and then in the winter, I'd come back to New York and do more theater, and eventually started getting some filmmaking, and then eventually started our own theater.
Wow, tough life. Living on Martha's Vineyard.
So I've written. Yeah, well, it's crazy. It's fun when you're young, but man, it's sure. My aunt still lives there, but it is just so crazy expensive. Beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places on the East Coast, but just nuts how expensive it is.
Right,
but yeah, I mean, I've written a bunch of short plays, reached some full length plays, short films. My partner and I made a film in the 90s, a feature length film. And so, you know, we've done a little bit of everything.
That sounds great. You sound like the exact type of guy that should be running a festival. You obviously have great respect for the craft, whether it's theater, movies, even creating a theater. I love that you said you created a theater in the village just out of a small converted space. Those tend to be, or at least when I was younger, I loved walking into theaters like that. There's such an intimacy and all, at times a weirdness, but it's always conducive to just creating a little space and making it yours to perform in. I think that's so fascinating. So do you typically look for specific types of films year to year? Do you ever have themes at your festivals? I know you have some blocks of films this year. You're doing 8 shorts. I think it's called Psycho Fest. Tell us a little bit about your approach.
I would think the only real theme we look for is that group of Psycho Fest. A little background. Psycho was written by Robert Bloch, and I think it was published in 1959. And Robert Bloch was living in Waiwega when he wrote the novel. He had married a girl from Waiwega, and he was a science fiction thriller horror writer. Did a lot of pulp fiction stories. You can find his stories back in the old pulp fiction magazines. And so he wrote Psycho, and he was inspired by the Ed Gein murders over in Plainfield. Ed was fixated with his mother, so you can see that in Psycho, where it's this guy's fixated with his mother, and he basically embalms her, and Ed did very similar crazy, nutty things. And in fact, right outside of Waiwega, there's the Lakeshore Motel, which is, not there now, but when we first moved there, it was still there, sort of the ruins of it, and it's the exact same layout as the Bates Motel. So you can see where he got his inspiration for the Bates Motel. This old sign is still there. If you're on the west side of Waiwega, you can look off the highway and you'll see the Lakeshore Motel sign. So that's sort of our tribute, our connection with Waiwega is Psycho. So we decided to, because when we first started, we would get, horror and thriller sort of, well, let's start this as a group. So gosh, I think 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago, so Friday nights, we're going to do Psycho Fest. And so anything sci-fi, thriller, or horror will fit into that genre. And in fact, this year, it's the 65th anniversary of Cycle the Novel. So we decided, let's show Psycho. So Wednesday night, we're showing Psycho at 7 p.m. And we have a writer, I forget his name. His first name's Bill, but I'm going to screw up his last name. But anyhow, Bill, he's a professor at Oshkosh, UW Oshkosh, and he's doing writing a book about Robert Bloch. And so he's going to do the introduction to Psycho. So that should be pretty interesting.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
So I'm sort of going on a tangent here about Psycho, but the question was, what do I look for in films? I think number one is a good story. Does this story grab me? Is the story new? Because you see, we watch hundreds of films every year, and a lot of them are just, we've seen this before, especially in horror films. Everyone does a slasher film. There's, they're just sort of imitating their heroes. But what attracts us is something new, a new spin on a story. A new spin on a slasher film, and engaging the audience and just telling a strong story. That's probably the biggest thing. Something new, something we haven't seen before.
I could not agree more with you. Even at the risk of sacrificing a little bit of the techno side of it, if you got a great story, I really feel like that's what engages people. All right, my guest is Ian Teal. He is the festival director for the Waiwega International Film Festival. He is with us for a couple more minutes here. We're going to do a quick thing here, and we will be right back to talk about more films that you can check out at this year's Waiwega International Film Festival. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wanna cry, cry, cry. a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back. Some great texts here that we will get to shortly, but our question tonight, just to reiterate, is what is your favorite animated cartoon or animated show or movie? That is tonight's question in honor of National Animation Day. It's our number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and you can call or text. It's great to hear from you either way and have you be part of the show. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Ian Teal. He's the festival director for the Waiwega International Film Festival, and he joins me here over the stream. Ian, you've got, tell us about, you've got 18 Wisconsin films showing on Thursday night. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's actually Thursday all day.
Okay, that makes sense.
We have two groups of shorts. Let me just check the schedule here. Two groups of shorts, I think starting at noon. And we had so many great Wisconsin films. It's like, well, I can't not show this one and show that one. So I'm just going to fill the day with Wisconsin films. And two groups of shorts. At 4:30, we're showing a film called The Best of Us, which is, I think it's about an hour-long documentary about a volunteer fire department in Cornell, Wisconsin, and the struggles. And one of their biggest struggles is finding new volunteers. At 6, we're showing a film, Bad River, which is about an Indian reservation up near Superior, where they've been fighting a Canadian company with this pipeline going through the reservation for years. And it's just, it's you know, a David and Goliath story there. At 7:45, we are showing Freedom, Wisconsin, which was filmed in Freedom and Appleton. It's sort of a quirky Napoleon Dynamite type comedy, very entertaining. That's at 7:45. And then at 9 p.m., now this is actually part of a PsychoFest film, but I couldn't fit them all in on Friday. But this is a film, Happy Birthday, which I think you had just mentioned him earlier. Ezekiel directed that film.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Drews, and Dan Davies is in it. And they made this film. And so we're showing that at 9 p.m. on Friday. So, and also through the week, there's a lot of other excellent Wisconsin films.
That's excellent. Yeah, Ezekiel and Dan have both been on the show, and we got a message from another friend of yours, I believe, JB Thompson, who says, Ian,
Double exclamation points, by the way, Ian, after your name. That must make you feel very special. He says, great to hear about the amazing Waiwega International Film Festival, and his favorite animated series is Family Guy, and he signs it, my nickname for JB, the guy behind the guy. So there you go. You've got fans listening, Ian. So yeah, Freedom, Wisconsin. I was reading about that yesterday. Was that filmed in Freedom? Or is that just...
I think it was filmed in Freedom and Appleton, okay, from my understanding.
That sounds like a great, just a really solid film festival film, what I read about it. Just that kind of coming of age. Yeah. And as you mentioned, quirky Napoleon Dynamite angle to it, too. That sounds like a fun film. So you got the 18 Wisconsin shorts. I love, really, honestly, the only place you can see short films, not the only place, but it's film festivals. And there are so many great short films out there that people never get a chance to see because they either don't go to film festivals or don't look hard enough for them on streaming platforms. But do you have a lot of Q&As planned?
Yeah, as many as we can. If there's a filmmakers there, we have a Q&A. So we always try and budget out the time for that. And like I said, we're going to have a lot of filmmakers there. I think we have about 12 or 14 coming from out of state. We have one lady flying in from Finland. Another guy is coming from Spain. And actually, these filmmakers, speaking of shorts, these two are coming for their short films. And yeah, that's the thing with shorts is some of these shorts are wonderful. You know, in a 10 or 20 minute thing, you know, they can make you cry, they can make you laugh, and they're just excellent. And a lot of these are calling cards, you know, it's like, look, I can make a movie. And some of them are just beautiful and touching. And it's like you said, the only place you're going to see these is probably at a film festival.
And it's almost a different kind of art form. You have such a limited time to get your message across. And like with a feature, in some ways, having a writing background, I know where this beat has to happen. I know where this beat has to happen. But with short films, it could be 2 minutes. It could be 32 minutes. You just don't know. You kind of have this blank canvas. It's almost a little harder to edit something like that, in my opinion. I have great respect for people that do that. We just have about a minute left, Ian, and I appreciate your time tonight. Just going back a year, how did Hundreds of Beavers play last year?
Great. Have you seen it?
I have. I do a lot of work at the Wisconsin Film Festival and had the opportunity to see it, I want to say a couple years ago, maybe. And I had seen their previous film, The Lake Michigan Monster. Yeah. They are on another level.
We love Lake Michigan Monster. When I saw they had this, they say, hey guys, can I show this shirt? And, yeah, it's amazing what they do. And now they've like got national fame, and I can't wait to see what these guys do with the budget, because they've done amazing things with no budget.
It's incredible.
And just incredibly creative guys.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you so much for your time tonight. Best of luck with the festival. You have to come on afterwards and tell us how it went. It was great to meet you tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, that's Ian Teal. He's the director of the Waiwega International Film Festival. And folks, I cannot stress enough how great it is to see a Q&A after a film or see a bunch of great short films. You owe it to yourself. If you don't go to film festivals, definitely give it a try. And Waiwega has a great reputation, and it's like 30 minutes from the Fox Valley, so highly recommend it. All right, my interview with Adam Brody, actor Adam Brody from The OC and the Netflix show Nobody Wants This, is coming up next. We'll play a quick clip of his work. And then the interview that I recorded with him yesterday. Very nice guy, and it was fun to meet Adam. And then at 7:20, a couple locals coming in to celebrate the history of Brown County with a gala event tomorrow. Deirdre and Steven Starry will be here. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigvi Olson and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.